In Ephesians chapter 2, we begin to talk about verse 2, and we want to go back and look at some things in verse 2 as we continue. He says, wherein in time past ye walked. When you look at that, ye walked, it means that you lived. He says that you walked according to the course, and the word course signifies all the tendencies, the thoughts, the pursuits, the deeds, and so on. It characterizes the present period of history. And then he talks about the world, and that's where we ended up on, talking about the world system, the philosophies, the values, the lifestyles, and those that are opposed to God, and those who are hostile to him. And when you look at the world system, we talked about it was characterized by three elements, humanism, materialism, and illicit sex. Humanism places man above all else. Materialism places high values in physical things, especially money. And then sexual perversion, it dominates the modern Western society. And when I talk about the Western society, I'm talking about places like Europe and Australia and New Zealand and some other places. And so it dominates that. And then I said it has no other society since the lowest periods of ancient Greece and Rome. So to understand what Paul is really addressing to them, when you look about ancient Greece and ancient Rome, they were considered to be the birthplace of Roman civilization. And so Greece having heavily influence on Rome. And most of the sexual practices and most of the attitudes of the ancient Greeks and Romans, they had parallel even in the modern life, as we talked about in these Western countries we just talked about. But also we have to understand both societies were slave owning, which was coupled with the general attitude that women were second-class citizens, and it meant that men had sexual access to those who were lesser in status. And so we have to understand that those two, Rome and Greece, they were bustling areas that offered a array of sexual perversions to those seeking illicit pleasures. But understand, when you think about Rome, in that city, the gospel proved to be the power of God for salvation in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And also it was the virtue of the church. It was known to all in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 19. And so basically what Paul is trying to get them to understand is that you were that way before conversion. The Ephesians used to conduct themselves in accordance with such ungodly values as we talked about. And so that's why Paul is bringing this to their attention when he said that in verse 2. He said, "Wherein in time past, listen, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Listen, now the time, now you need to be walking in a different way. And so Paul is getting them to understand. And so he's also, even when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about some things in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. So he's trying to get them to understand, listen, you were that way before. You lived that way before. You conducted yourself that way before. And then he talks about the prince of the power of the air. You used to live by the dictates and wishes of Satan. But let's bring it home to us. Before we come to Christ, we are living in sin. The life without Jesus is a life to please the flesh of man. Satan appeals to the flesh of man. Because what? All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There in Romans 3 in verse number 23. But also we need to understand we are first of the flesh. We live for pleasing our own self before we come to Jesus. And so the Ephesians were no different. And so he talks about the world. He talks about the air. It's basically both of them representing a realm, a sphere of influence. Let's look at that, because let's go to 1 John, if you will. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 15 through verse number 17. In 1 John chapter 2. Now notice what he says. He says in verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, notice what he says, abideth forever. And so Paul, he tells them, again, let's go back to verse number 2. He tells them that wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Look at verse 3. He says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So Paul's primary purpose here is not to show how unsaved people now live, though the teaching is valuable for that purpose. But he's writing, his purpose is to remind believers how they themselves formerly walked and how they formerly lived. See, all of us once lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And so we, that was a time when we obeyed the gospel, we ought to be living a different life. We shouldn't be living the same life we used to live. And so that's what Paul is trying to get them. Listen, you child of God, all you shouldn't be doing, and we shouldn't be doing it either anymore if we are a child, if we are a true child of God. Because we all had our conversation. And what that means is that we all conducted ourselves. All right. We all conducted ourselves this way. We all were living for Satan. But thank God that since Christ died, now we have hope. We can live for him. So if we're living for him, why do we want to go back and live the life we used to live? And so now notice he says in verse number 3. Now he says, among whom we. Now go when you look in verse 2, he says, wherein in time past ye. Now what we have is that we have in contrast ye in verse number 2, which refers to the Gentiles. All right? In verse 2, the ye refers to the Gentiles. But then when you get to in verse 3, the we refers to the Jews. So in essence, Paul admits we Jews were no better than you Gentiles. Both ethnic groups were sinful. Choosing a Ralph, it refers to people subject to divine punishment. People subject to divine punishment. See, our body of flesh came from the earth and causes us to want to be of the earth. What we have to do is that we must crucify our flesh and put the Spirit of God in control of our lives. Again, we got to crucify our flesh, and we have to put the Spirit of God in control of our lives, because the fleshly mind is an enemy of God. The battle that has been raging since Adam and Eve is battling for the soul of man. You remember Paul, he struggles with this in Romans chapter 7. And every day that you and I get up out of our beds, there is a struggle in trying to do what's right and trying to do what's wrong. There is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh want to control your life, but the spirit want to be in control of your life. And so the flesh wants to control the soul of man. And if the flesh wins, then listen, then what's happening is you're going to be an enemy of God. All right? Because we have to understand, the Spirit of God will come and dwell in you if you become a spirit person. You got to become spiritual. Each and every day, you got to be growing spiritually, realizing that there is a battle that is continually going on within you and I. The breath of life is the spirit of mankind. The breath of life within us is of God. He breathed and the breath of life into us, and we became a living soul. And the soul is like the will of man. But here is the thing that I want you to write down. It's very important that you write down. And that is this. God will not force you to follow him. Let me say that again. God will not force you to follow him. And so we have a choice. We have a choice tonight to choose whom we will follow. The soul of man is the decision maker. The flesh of man, connected with the earth, desires to sin. And so the battle comes between the flesh and the spirit over the soul. Now here's the question. Which will you let rule in your life? Which will you let rule in your life? The spirit or the flesh? Because fleshly man brings death and hell. Spiritual man brings life, and then more abundantly. And so really, is there any choice? No, we ought to be choosing to walk in the Spirit. We ought to be letting the Spirit of God control our lives each and every day. And so every believer was once totally lost in the system of the world. I'm talking about the flesh, the devil, who is the prince over the demons, who are the power of the air. And so we have to understand, you know, we was once there. Are we still there? If you are not a child of God, you are still there. And so we need to understand, apart from God, we are nothing. And so as we continue to look at this, let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 18. John 3 and verse 18. Because he's already said in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And in verse 19, "For this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And that's the bottom line. That's the problem. A lot of time we love evil. We love walking in darkness rather than light. And so when we get to verse number 4 through verse 6, let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And so he goes on. After he says, "Among whom we also had our conversation in time past," verse 3, "in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." When you look at verse 4 through verse number 6, it has the word "but." It begins to disclose God's response to man's sin. Let's look at verse 4 through 6. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." See, in verse 4 through 6 again, it discloses God's response to man's sin in verse 1 through verse 3. All right? It discloses God's response to man's sin in verse 1 through verse 3. And so this divine response is expressed in three main verbs. Number one, God hath quickened us. God hath quickened us. Because they were morally dead in sin, the Lord gave them spiritual life. Number two, and hath raised us up together. Has raised us up together. That is, God has not allowed these Christians to remain in the grave of their old life with its sinful ways and habits. But he brought them into a new life and demonstration of it. And then the third thing that we see is that God made us sit together in heavenly places. He made us sit together in heavenly places. That is, he has brought us into his presence and into an intimate relationship with himself. So we're going to look at those things. So he starts out in verse 4, he says, but God. We ought to be glad tonight there is a but God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein, wherewith he loved us. See, salvation is from sin and by love. And so you see the two words, but God shows where the initiative was in providing the power of salvation. His great desire is to be rejoined with the creatures he made in his own image and for his own glory. The rebellion and rejection is on man's side. So salvation for God's glory is by the motivation and power of God's great love. And so God is, he's kind. God is merciful. God is loving. And in his love, he reaches out to vile, sinful, rebellious, destitute, and condemned human beings. And he offers them salvation and all the eternal blessings that it brings. But understand, he's not going to make us accept this. It's by choice. Man's rebellion is therefore not only against God's lordship and his law, but it's also against his love. And so though greatly offended and sinned against, because of God's rich mercy, because of his great love, he offered forgiveness. He offers reconciliation to us as he does to every repentant sinner. And though in their sin and rebellion, all men participate in the wickedness of Jesus' crucifixion, God's mercy and love provides a way for them to participate in the righteousness of his crucifixion. In other words, see, understand, God is saying to us tonight, I know what you are, and I know what you have been. But because of my great love for you, your penalty has been paid. Thank God. Our penalty. We deserve death. But God's mercy and God's love. My laws you sad through my on your and for his sake I offer you forgiveness to come to me. You need only to come to him. That's why he says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not only did he love enough to forgive, but also he loved enough to die. to die for the very ones who had offended him. That's why the Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 13, John 15 and verse 13, greater love have no man than this, and the one that laid down his life for his friend. Compassionate love for those who do not deserve it makes salvation possible. So he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. Salvation is for God's glory. Salvation is for God's glory by putting on display his boundless mercy and love for those who are spiritually dead because of their sinfulness. You know, I think about all the time, and that is, why did he love us? Why did he love us? We didn't deserve it. We did not deserve to be loved. But his mercy endures forever. This love, it's agape love. Is that it's an unconditional love. It's above human love. Because listen, he loved us in spite of all the wrongs in our lives. We ought to thank God. We ought to thank God. And we just quoted John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So as we close tonight, while we were yet in sin, God loved us enough to save us. We were headed for total destruction, and God blocked the way. Turn us to life everlasting in his precious Son. God is love. And what happened was, for what Jesus did for us, he died for us. That's love in action. He didn't talk about it, but he showed it. And I hope we go back and we just meditate on this week, this but God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And we'll pick up in verse number 5, because he says that even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. Thank you for listening again on tonight.